Please turn to Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Jonah. Amos chapter 3. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. Pastor, why do you give those references? Well, because sometimes people have a hard time locating those little bitty books in the Old Testament because they maybe don't read too much in the Old Testament. But, you know, whatever. So anyway, Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That is an extremely profound verse. And, you know, you'd have to read the whole chapter, well, really the whole book, to understand the setting and all. But nevertheless, that is a standard, really, for the body of Christ. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And many times, there are some Christians, you can't walk with them. I mean, you just cannot have fellowship with them because there's no agreement. Look, you need to understand, if you don't already, that there are some Christians, yeah, they're born again and they are going to heaven. But they've got a mindset about certain things in life and the Bible, and they're not going to change. Absolutely not. They are not. Some people, to be a little bit of, exaggerating here, some people, I almost wonder if Jesus were to show up, if they would argue with him. Now, I'm only half exaggerating there. There are people out there, they just... So anyway, bottom line is this. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Let's bring that home. Here in this church, are we in agreement? Well, immediately, a lot of people would say, well, yeah. Well, I hope. Because over the years, I've come to find out there are people who have attended this church. We have not been in agreement. And they sit in the pews week after week, and we are not in agreement. And some of them, when services are over, they let other people know how much they disagree with what I taught. We're not in agreement. So then, my question would be, why are you still here? I mean, have you prayed about this? And is God telling you, you stay and don't leave? Or do you just not care? I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. Now, I can see how God would tell somebody, I'm not leading you anywhere until you learn to receive my word. Nevertheless, can two walk together except they be agreed? When it comes to us in this congregation, what are you believing for? Well, Brother Martin, we're believing for outpouring and revival. Okay, that has become a catchphrase. What are you believing for? And do you believe it's going to happen? And more importantly, when you open your mouth, what is coming out? What is your declaration concerning what you believe is going to happen here? What's going on? Now take a look. Take a look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to walk through some verses here at the beginning. And this is a verse, if you don't have this one memorized by now, Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted by the devil. The devil says, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I don't know how many Christians would want to say, nah, I'm not going to do that. Or no, that ain't me. I'm not doing that. I would think most Christians would say, yep, amen. That's me. Living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All right. If you're living by every word that proceeds, now hear this. If you're living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, then guess what? What's coming out of your mouth will be in agreement with what comes out of His mouth. Do you understand that? Anybody who says healing's not for today, guess what? They're not living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Because healing has come out of the mouth of God. The gifts aren't for today. Well, that's not what came out of God's mouth. Prophesied in the Old Testament, manifested in the New Testament, manifested today. We're supposed to be living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, if it doesn't come out of His mouth, guess what? We don't have to live by it. I mean, that's pretty simple, right? And there are a lot of people that teach a lot of things that have not come forth out of the mouth of God. But here we see, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now look in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. See, Jesus would not say that if He wasn't going to kind of fill us in later on in life, His life, about what this means. Well, there's a lot of what He said that goes into this, but we just want to see a little bit of it, okay? In Mark chapter 4, verse 14, the sower soweth the word. Okay? What word? Every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. Another way to say that would be, well, the Bible, for one. The Bible. The sower soweth the word. Now, how are you going to sow the word if you don't know what's in the word? That's pretty simple, isn't it? So if you aren't getting into the word, then you can't sow it. But you know, if you want to have you want to grow corn, all right? But you don't have any. What do you have to do? You have to go to the store and buy a bag of corn and then plant it, right? Pretty simple. Well, you can't sow the word if this right here is the condition of your Bible all the time. Now, I understand we could listen to it being read. Okay, I get that and I agree with you. But you get the image here. Okay? He says, the sower soweth the word. And in verse 20, he says, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And this has nothing to do with money. But he says, okay, here you have these people that are good ground. And so they hear the word, they receive it. They're sowers, okay? They're sowers. They're sowing the word in them. It's just not a literary practice. They're sowing the word in them. And he says that these people who do that, they're going to bring forth fruit. Now, somebody might say, well, I've heard a lot of teaching about, you know, fruit, and, you know, Jesus talks about the vine, the branches and the fruit and so forth. And how do I bear fruit? Well, here's one way. Here's one way. Hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit. And then he says some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. What's this 30-fold, 60, and some 100? It's 30-fold, 60. Guys, listen, the whole thing of 30-fold, 60, and 100, okay, those aren't the only values here. Jesus is just saying that. He could have said 10-fold, 20-fold, 30-fold, 35, do I see here 40, 40, 45, 50, 50, 50. No, he could have gone through, you know, every number between 0 and 100. What he's doing is saying the amount of word that you sow in you once you're good ground is directly proportionate to how much fruit the word is going to produce in your life. And he says, now this is Jesus, he says it's possible to get to the point to where 100% of the word, the fruit of the word, can be produced through a believer's life. You know what? We've just lost a lot of Christians right there. Because you got some people who, oh, Pastor, I just don't know if that's possible. Jesus says it's possible. Yeah, I know, but hold on. Didn't Jesus say we're supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God? So the moment that we say, yeah, but I don't know about this hundredfold. I know it says, do you realize what we're doing? We are arguing with God. And we're telling him it can't be so. After he has said, well, yeah, it is so. But the sower soweth the word. If you aren't sowing the word, which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, then you can't get the fruit of what the word will produce in your life. Now look over in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and consider what Jesus says here. We're just going to go to one verse. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. He says, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. These are that which are sown on good ground. A good man out of the good ground of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Okay, so we're supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And then when I sow the word and the word becomes the abundance of my heart and I'm that good ground, then you know what? When I open my mouth, what's going to come out? The word. Because the word will be the abundance of my heart and my mouth will speak. My mouth will speak. Speak what? That which is in line with what God has said, so that I now am in agreement with what God has spoken. It's amazing to me how many Christians expect God to move in their life, but yet what comes out of their mouth is counter to what God has said. What makes you think that God is going to move in your life the way you want him to, when what you're saying is in disagreement with what he has said? Well, look over in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And let's just take a look. One verse, verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So many Christians have just absolutely attacked with viciousness, the whole aspect of faith and confession. But yet Jesus is telling you right here, look, if you don't doubt in your heart and believe what you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever you saith. What did Jesus say? The sower sows the word. And this is the word that is sown on good ground. You're going to bear fruit as much as 100-fold. You know what 100-fold sounds like to me? He shall have whatsoever he saith. Why? Because I've sown the word, and out of the abundance of my heart, which is the abundance, with the word of God is the abundance of my heart, then my mouth is speaking that which God has spoken. You follow what I'm saying? And he says, you'll have whatsoever you say. Don't doubt in your heart. Don't doubt in your heart. A lot of Christians over the years, I don't doubt, I don't doubt. Just because you say you don't doubt doesn't mean you don't doubt. You know why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, you can say you don't doubt, and you are coming into a mental agreement with the word of God. But to eliminate the doubt, the faith has to replace it. And that faith is only going to be there. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Yes, I know. Pray in tongues, build yourself up on your most holy faith. But you got to have the word. You have to have the word. And the word has to be the foundation for what you speak. Now look, we're coming back to the New Testament. Keep your finger here. But look in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And take a look at verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So God is telling us right there, His word cannot fail. Whatever He has spoken, He says, it won't return to me void. It won't just be vain speaking or empty words. He says, my word that goeth forth out of my mouth. All right, Jesus said, we're supposed to live by every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. So if I'm living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, doesn't it stand to reason that my life will be far better off? Really? Because if He says, my word won't return void, it will accomplish everything I say to accomplish, and if I'm living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, something good should happen in my life. Then the sower sows the word. And if I'm that good ground, I'm going to bring forth the 30, 60, the hundredfold of what God has spoken about what, you know, His word that's gone forth out of His mouth. It will happen in my life. Now I'll turn back over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And in verse, just pick it up in verse 49. Jesus says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. See that? What's Jesus doing? He's living by every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. He turns right around here and He is saying, look, I don't speak of myself. No, what I do is I speak what Father God wants me to speak. Do you realize what He's saying here? I have not spoken of myself. Let's kind of amplify this a little bit. Though I could, I have not spoken of myself. I'm only speaking that which God wants me to speak. See that? Now, I don't doubt there were times when Jesus and the apostles, you know, they're sitting around talking, they're joking, having a good time. Okay, that's just humanity. But when it came to, you know, life, Jesus didn't speak outside the framework and the structure of the Word of God. He spoke what God wanted Him to speak. Okay, now, what's that say about us? When we open our mouths, and I'm not talking about, you know, silly jokes and things, but I'm talking about life. When it comes to life, when it comes to this church and what we want to see happen, are we speaking in line with the Word of God? Is that what we're declaring? Look over in John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, look at verse 18. Jesus he's praying here and he says, he's praying, you know, Father, verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Okay? Not just the apostles. That's anybody who's called. In other words, anybody who's accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Okay, now, Jesus said, I don't speak of myself. I speak what Father God wants me to speak. That, and in another place he says, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Okay, well, part of God's will was for Him to speak what God wanted Him to speak. Here we see that those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have been sent into the world in the same way that Jesus has been sent into the world, which means we are supposed to speak what Father God has spoken. Every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. That is how we are supposed to talk. We're supposed to set our conversation aright, our lifestyle and our words. We are supposed to speak in line with the Word of God for our lives, but for this church. And what we want to see happen in this church. Look over in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. One verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is not going to violate a person's will. And if we as Christians just simply refuse to sow the word, well, He's not going to force it. If we as Christians refuse to line up our speaking with what He has said, well, He's not going to kick you out of heaven for that. However, there are standards. He's not going to change. He said, my word. Jesus said, live by every word. Jesus said, I only speak what Father wants me to speak. We've been sent into the world the same reason that He's been sent into the world. So therefore, think of it like this. God is saying, when you speak in line with what I have said, you're giving me something to work with in this world. But as long as you keep speaking in opposition to what I have said, I am hands off, and I'm not involved. Now let that sink in, because we hear so much about, oh, God is involved with every aspect of your life. God is always, He's doing everything. No, we block Him out with our words. Do you hear what I'm saying? Well, you ain't got scripture for that. I've been given you scripture for that. Live by every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. Speak the word of God. So on and so forth. And you get results. You know, this is so critical. And I'm telling you right now, this is one of the reasons why a lot of Christians, they experience a tremendous amount of inner turmoil. Just all kinds of yuck inside. Emotionally up and down and up and down. And look, there's nothing unstable about the Word of God. The Word of God will bring stability to your emotions. And when you get around Christians that they just, you know, they're just everywhere. Emotionally, you just found somebody. Born again? Yeah. Washed in the blood? Oh, yeah. Filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, yeah. But they don't have enough word in them to cut away all that other stuff. And what comes out of their mouth, they're like, you know, James was talking about, double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. They come to church, yes, amen, yes, amen. Oh, that's right, Brother Martin. And then, when church is over, and they're out and around, sometimes before they get out the door, you know, they're speaking opposite of what God has said. And just a very simple one, just before we get into all this further here, very simple. For those of you who are battling a physical issue in your body, number one, do you really believe that God can heal your body? Do you really believe that? Well, yeah, I do. How long have you been dealing with the whatever the thing is? Well, I've been dealing with this now for 20 years. Okay. Do you still believe that God can heal you? Well, yeah. Are you sure? Are you sure? Because Jesus said, if you believe and don't doubt. What is doubt? God, why am I not healed? God, doubt. That's doubt. You ought to be thanking God for healing. And I'm not going to be getting into the healing aspect of it tonight, but that's an example. Do you really believe that God can heal you of anything that's, you know, out of order in your body? Look, he's already promised the day's coming, we're going to have a glorified body. If God can glorify these bodies, he can surely help us in the area of sickness and affliction. So do you really believe that? Now, if you do, what is your declaration over your body? What do you speak over yourself? Do you continually claim sickness and disease when you're talking to people? Do you talk about, well, I have, well, I have, well, I have, and then you give the list of all the stuff. Well, I have. What do you speak? Well, every day, and then you talk about what you go through every day, you personalize it, you claim it, and it becomes what you own. And then, to try to bail yourself out, you try to counter that with a quick, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Yep. Guess what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It flat out doesn't work. But I just said the word of God. Yeah, but you don't really believe it. Because if you really believed it, if you were living by every word that proceeded forth out of the mouth of God, you would not claim sickness and disease and injury. David wrote, I forget the chapter and verse, David wrote, "This is my comfort in my affliction, your word heals me." In other words, yeah, you face physical stuff, but this is my comfort. Your word heals me. Your word heals me. I will not forget your benefits. I mean, you forgive me of every iniquity and you heal me of every infirmity. I will not forget that. But see, if you're not sowing the word of his promises, if you're not sowing the word, then you know what? It's not going to be easy for you to receive that healing. Okay? Now, let's move on. That's just an example. Let's move on. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to read to you an example of how I pray basically every day of my life. And I'm not going to include the healing aspects of it just for the sake of time. But I'm going to read to you basically, how I pray. And in fact, I'll probably lead you in this to confess it with me. And I'm not going to go through and read all the verses associated with this because it's all on here. And by the way, when the service is over tonight, if you want a copy of this, it'll be up here. You can get a copy and take it with you. Now, when it comes to friends and family members that I want to see get their lives turned around, this includes people who maybe never professed Jesus, or those who have, but they may be the prodigals at this point in time. But this is how I pray. And I want you to think right now of, say, just two or three people that you, family member or friend, that you want to see them get their lives turned around. And in a moment, I'm going to have you say that person's name or those people, but you don't have to do it real loudly. Just, kind of whisper it under your breath to respect the privacy of these people you're praying for. You understand what I'm saying, okay? Now, here we go. Repeat this after me. Father, I lift up. Now name the people. We're going to continue the confession. And I ask you to send laborers, the Holy Spirit, and dreams and visions into their lives. I call them born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and faithfully attending the church you know will be best for them. And that's based on Matthew 9:8, Luke 10:2, Luke 11:13, and Acts 10:1-48. Some people don't understand the whole aspect of the dreams and visions. God can scare people into repentance through a dream and a vision. And there are so many times in the Old and New Testament where dreams and visions have played a vital role in somebody making a decision for God. So that's why that aspect of the dreams and visions is in there. Okay, now, moving on. Concerning outpouring and revival. I'm going to lead you in this confession. Father, I ask you to keep pouring out of your Spirit upon all flesh in the Miami Valley. I call the Miami Valley in revival. I say the lost, backsliders, and those hungry for more of you are coming in from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and are sitting down in the kingdom of God. They are following your leading into churches that you know will be cities of habitation and tabernacles of refuge for them. Father, I thank you that every week more people are attending our church, both online and in person. I say they are receiving everything from you they need, body, soul, and spirit, that they are living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and that they are faithful. I thank you that we have highly skilled experts in every area of maintenance, computers, audio, video, streaming, singers and musicians. And that's all based on Acts 2:17, Luke 13:29, Psalm 107 verses 1 through 7, Isaiah 4 verses 2 through 6, and 1 Chronicles 28:21. Moving on. This next one has to do with material and financial provision. Father, I ask you to continue ministering favor on behalf of our church to the hearts and minds of individuals and people in organizations throughout the world concerning giving to our church and our church having a new facility. I thank you that every day individuals and organizations all over the world are sending finances to our church. It is coming in by every method possible. Each week, many thousands of dollars come into our church. We have all the finances necessary regarding a new facility. We have a new facility, furnished, equipped, and debt-free right now. And that's based on Genesis 39:21, Exodus 3:21, 2 Corinthians 8:9, 2 Corinthians 9:8, Philippians 4:19, and Romans 8:32. And now, the next one has to do with victory and manifested prayer. In Jesus' name, I speak to all you devils and declare that you and your plans are totally defeated and shut down in all these areas I've prayed. There is nothing you can do to interfere with or stop any of these prayers and confessions from being fully manifested. The victory of Jesus and the will of God are fully manifested. The people, finances, and facility are totally loosed and set free from your influence. I speak to you, people, finances, and facility. You are loosed and set free from the influence of every devil. Come in now according to the will of God. Angels, go forth as God gives you the direction to do warfare and create atmospheres conducive for these prayers and confessions to become fully manifested every day. And that is all based on Luke 10, 17 through 19, Mark 16, 17, Colossians 2, 15, and Hebrews 1, 13 through 14. And in conclusion, Father, your word has gone forth, and it will not return void. It will accomplish all you desire. You see how simple that was? How incredibly simple. And you can do all this 5 minutes, maybe. Maybe a little bit longer. And when you, if you choose to take this, take a copy of this, do not just go through the confessions. Remember, the sower soweth the word. You have to get the foundation of the scriptures settled within for the confessions to come out with that anointing of the word. I hope you understand that. And when it comes to the financial and material provision, I usually also confess 2 Corinthians 8, 9, 2 Corinthians 9, 8, Philippians 4, 19, and Romans 8, 32. Plus, in the Old Testament, God makes reference more than once to, like, you know, his hand is not shortened. His arm is not shortened, meaning he can reach out, doesn't matter where you are, and he, his word will come to pass. It'll happen. All right, let's go back to this whole question. Are we in agreement? Do you really believe that this is going to happen? Do you really believe this is what God wants to have happen? This isn't about building another mega church. Although I will say this. Dear Brother Elaine crunched some numbers based upon the number of viewers we have, both on the YouTube channel and live streams, so on and so forth. And what it comes down to is this. If everybody out there watching were to come in here at the same time, you talk about needing a larger building. Oh my goodness. I mean, this right here, this room, I don't know what we'd be able to do with this room. This might be the coat room. I mean, we wouldn't have enough room. We would have to have this, a great big facility that would seat I don't know how many. And would have a whole new sound system with a better microphone. Do you really believe this? Do you really believe this? Is this how you speak in between services? Praise God. Is this how you talk in between services? If it's not, then my question would be, why not? Because it means we're not in agreement. If you talk in a way that reflects unbelief that this is what God wants to have happen, there's something wrong. And I would wonder, why don't you believe this is what God wants to have happen? Well, Pastor, I'll tell you why. You know, it hadn't happened yet, so I don't know. Well, now, wait a second. I should have looked this up. But there was a verse in the Scripture. I think it's in Isaiah. It's one of the prophets. Where God was talking to the prophet, and he said something to the effect of, you know, such and such is going to happen, and it will happen 65 years. Something was going to happen to the bad people, all right? Okay, that's 65 years. So along year 50, it might be easy to say, well, it hadn't happened yet. Yet we know God said it was going to be 65 years. I can't give you a number of days, months, weeks, years before all this happens. But what I can tell you is this. It's what God wants. This is what He's revealed in Scripture. And so if we're going to, as a congregation, live according to every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, And we're going to stand in agreement with Him concerning, you know, outpouring, revival, provision, our loved ones and family members and so forth, everything we've talked about here, then you know what? What we speak, it's absolutely got to come in line with what God has already spoken. And the only way that's really going to happen is if we get into the Word, sow the Word. It becomes alive on the inside of us. I mean, we have an awareness of its life on the inside of us, and we start speaking it. And it'll get to the point to where speaking otherwise is just going to feel lousy on the inside. We'll have such a check in our spirit. Why are you talking like this? Because the Word of God is life. And when we are speaking in line with the Word of God, we are speaking life into everything that God wants done. So I'm encouraging you folks, you know, give this a lot of thought. And again, get into the Word. Sow it. And see the results, because they will come forth. His Word will not return void.